You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud up. What do you got?
All right, guys. So I actually have two things for you guys, and they're both regarding Betty White. If you guys did not hear, you know, she passed away New Year's Eve.
I did.
And I went and rewatched Golden Girls. I was like, I just feel like I need a little pick-me-up. You know, I was not what I needed for New Year's Eve, but neither here nor there.
Well, the worst part is, did you see that People Magazine did like a whole cover story about her big 100 bash, like 100, birthday bash. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to, I think her birthday was like January 17th or 17th. Something like that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Capricorn.
Yeah.
So she was huge animal lover, and they're doing, so I saw on Instagram, Instagram and Twitter that they're doing a Betty White challenge. So on Betty White's birthday, 100th birthday, you guys can go to a local rescue or animal shelter in your area and donate $5 in her name. So that's the first thing you guys can do on her birthday, January 17th. But also, Pink's Hot Dogs is giving away their proceeds from sales of their Betty White naked hot dog in LA, to the LA Zoo. So the hot dog is $5.20. So if you guys purchase a Betty White naked hot dog, all of that money goes to the LA Zoo.
All right, sweet.
Mm-hmm. In her name, her honor.
Nice.
Short and sweet. Rest in peace, Betty White.
I felt so bad, man. You know, you're that close to hitting 100. You know?
Yeah.
Right? What a blessing. But seriously, like, almost made it.
Well, you know what was awesome about her at 99? How lucid she was. Like, she was really sharp at 99.
Like, if you're going to make it to 99, 100, like, you want to be lucid and feeling good for the most part. Like, you know, you don't want to be, you know, if you're not feeling all that good and you're not in that good shape, like, it's not really, what are you getting out of that?
Right, where you're, like, in a wheelchair. Yeah. You're like, you know, you can't really do stuff by yourself. Like, she was
awesome. She was still doing TV and stuff, wasn't she?
Yeah.
love her in that movie with Sandra Bullock. When she's like the grandma.
And
she's
Ryan
just,
Reynolds.
I mean, I love her in general, but that movie, I'm like, man, she's still got it at her age.
She's still very good. Had great comedic timing still. She was a treasure for sure. So pretty sad stuff. So, all right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Real quick, I just saw, before we get to Antonio Brown, I just saw Adam Schefter was on an episode of The Simpsons. If you could pick one TV show to make a cameo, and I know you were on the Jalen Rose pilot show. I remember that. But if you could pick one show that is currently going on that you could make a cameo on, what show would it be, Momo?
Ooh. I really like Billions.
Okay.
I would say Billions is awesome. I like Succession. Those would be probably the top two.
But what would you do? Because you'd have to be you. What would you do? What would Ramona do?
Oh, it has to be me?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we could do something with cryptocurrency, right? Like, I could be somebody who's covering that or NFT, something like that. I could
Be like somebody, some big-time athlete gets involved with them, right? Buying, like, NFTs or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my answer before was Game of Thrones, and I could be just, like, anything. I just want to go to the set. Like, I'd just be an extra. You can kill me off.
They don't have sports back then or then.
I can take it out by the White Walkers. That's okay. You can take me out. If I get to go to the set, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. For me, it would have been, like, honestly, it would have been, like, Entourage back then.
But,
like,
Mason has a good one. Cobra Kai. That'd be pretty awesome.
Cobra Kai. You know I could totally do Cobra Kai.
I mean, I'm from the Valley. Like, this is my jam. Like, fit right in. I could give
the All Valley Championship, right?
Yeah, man. Like,
And Daniel Russo's
know where that really
from
is.
Reseda. Yeah.
Mason Doe, he says.
Mason Doe. You know, I was never on Ballers. I was always jealous that Lebatard got to be on Ballers and I wasn't. So I was like, really?
Yeah.
You picked Dan? I'm way better looking than Dan and much thinner as well. But anyway,
you just don't know the right people.
Yeah, Yeah. Glazer was like a mainstay on that show on Ball.
Well, yeah, he has the same agent. I mean, yeah, Brad Slater is The Rock's agent.
Yeah.
And The Rock was the star Ballers, and Jay Glazer has him as the agent.
So, anywho, let's get, speaking of agents, Antonio Brown's agent's going to have a lot of work to do if he's ever going to play in the NFL again. Here's the thing, though. Like, everyone's talking about how crazy it was to see what we saw. Yes, I think we are all in agreement. Yes, what we saw was pretty wild. We'd never seen that before. Yes?
I haven't seen that, but I'm sure it's happened. It just probably hasn't happened in full view, right? Like, on the actual field. It's probably happened in locker rooms before.
Right, where guys just walk off, sure.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
not
Kevin
like the middle
Jr.
of a game doing jumping jacks in the end zone with a peace sign and taking my shirt off. Right, yeah. It feels like something Dennis Rodman would have done at some point, but did not do. But my thing is this, and I actually had, it was one of my responses today. I did Around the Horn today, and we did this subject, obviously. And, you know, a number of our colleagues today on the show said that they were disappointed in the teams because they, you know, basically, you know, they use Antonio Brown when it's good for them to get wins and you know, that's the end of it. And then it's we wish him well, you know, hope he gets help, blah, blah, blah. And my response to that was, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, or but I am going to be a little cynical, I guess, sort of, or maybe less cynical, perhaps, because, like, how do we know? We're not in those locker rooms. We don't know if guys in the locker room, you know, whether it was Mike Evans or Tom Brady or any of the guys on the Steelers before, whatever, the Raiders, if they didn't reach out to him at some point during the season, be like, yo, AB, man, you got to chill. Can we do this with you? Can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? Like, we don't know if any of that stuff happened. And everyone wants to play, like, doctor and psychologist with him. I'm not comfortable doing that. Clearly, he's got something going on from a personality perspective, but I'm not here to diagnose that. I just look at it and say to myself that he needs to deal with the facts. And the facts are this. The facts are, for one reason or another, regardless of his incredible amount of talent, eventually his behavior on and off the field have terminated his ability to continue to play with several organizations now. And, you know, you were just talking about, like, when we were talking about Russ and Carmelo, and again, not to equate those situations, but you were talking about how, like, Melo changed when he was out of the league. And now, AB did that a little bit, at least at first. You always heard in Tampa he was on his best behavior, blah, blah, blah. And then the COVID card thing happened.
Yeah.
And it used to, remember, before that, it was one strike, he's gone. And he wasn't gone. And I feel like, again, not being in the locker room, but just a 30,000-foot view, that you gave him that feeling of, oh, I can get away with something here. And when, you know, when you have a someone who clearly has had run-ins with coaches and teammates and players, that person needs to be treated differently. And by the way, I would say that on the other side of the spectrum. When somebody's got a resume that tells me he's a good citizen, he's a good teammate, he's a good, you know, whatever, all those things, right? Let's say he had the same resume but didn't have the run-ins with teammates and stuff on and off the field that Antonio Brown had. I would say that that person shouldn't be judged by their worst moment. You know what I mean? If they make one mistake. Obviously, depending on what the mistake is, like, we're not going to condone, like, anything super, you know, illegal or anything, but... but you kind of get my point. I feel like we do this thing with athletes where we try to get too involved and kind of insert ourselves a little too much instead of just dealing with the facts. And the facts are fairly simple in this situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think with Antonio, like, when what you do become, he wasn't really that good this year, right? He was out for quite a while.
He was fine.
So yeah. I think it can be even more simple than that. I mean, if he had been their top receiver and the most productive guy they have, and he'd been killing it this year, like, I don't know. Do you think he's gone after that? Maybe they suspend him for a game for contact.
I mean, maybe not.
Team.
Yeah. I mean, look, Terrell Owens
this year.
Yeah, Terrell Owens got very upset on social media, and I don't blame him because someone tried to make the case that him and Antonio Brown were, like, the same player. And Terrell Owens was like, nah, bro, I never had those kind of issues. Like, you need to, that first of all, like, that's disrespectful to me. You know, like that.
Right.
And we do, again, we do this. We make things, we try to, like, either overcomplicate things or oversimplify things instead of just dealing with the stuff that's in front of us.
Yeah. And I think, like, with Antonio Brown, like, I care, to be honest, I care way more about the way he treated his former girlfriend or his employees
Correct.
Or those other
yeah.
stories that we read about than yeah. I do about him taking off his jersey and pads and getting upset
Correct.
At the game. Like,
yes.
people are heated in games, and he was upset about something. I mean, look, Doc Rivers threw Ben Simmons out of practice when he refused to go into a practice, okay? And he said, get out of here. I mean, it's not that different from what Bruce Arians did. The difference is Ben Simmons didn't react by taking off his jersey and storming out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But he got out of there. They said, don't go in. Okay, I won't go in. Like, this stuff happens. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. from Houston got into it with John Lucas. John Lucas is a really well-respected coach, but he was probably, you know, he probably got up in his face on something. And they had words at halftime. Kevin Porter Jr. left the arena at halftime. Just left. He got a one-game suspension. You know why? Because he's a young player that they're high on. And that's what they're doing in Houston right now.
Right.
Like, it, you know, it's all context. Like, with Antonio Brown, like, yeah, that was a bad scene there. But to me, that was, like, one of the least of his offenses since he's been there.
Yes, I would agree with that. But, I think that in this league, he will continue to get chances as long as he's a productive player. I don't know
yeah.
if that's the case anymore, though. Right, like, to your point. Like,
he wasn't
right.
that productive this year. Like,
he was all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. But you can get all right with a lot less.
You just don't get as much room.
Right. You can do all right with a lot less headaches, per se, you know. Hey, real quick on the Rams. So, Lindsay, you have this little chart here on the Rams' potential opponents from easiest to toughest and, of course, kind of the percentages. Now, again, this is if the playoffs were to start today, right? Like, basically, like, their percentage chances, like, to who they would play. So, the Saints, right, Lindsay, are the team that they're most likely to face in this scenario?
Yes. So, according to this chart that I got from, I think it was Yahoo, they have the 40% chance of facing the Saints in the playoffs, the first round. So, that's like the highest by quite a bit.
Because the chances are is that the Rams finish with the second seed.
Yeah, so that would be the Rams getting the second seed and then the Saints finishing with the seventh, or
right.
finishing seventh.
Because Green Bay yeah. would be the one overall seed, and they would, which they have already, right? They have clinched the one overall seed, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So everybody's got to go through Lambeau. But the Saints, I mean, that's a hell of an opponent, Ramona, if you're the Rams. That's who you want.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints to me are like a skeleton team at this point. Like, who are they even playing right now?
Right.
Like, who's a quarterback?
Or the Eagles.
I mean, it wasn't...
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to play the Eagles.
Really?
The Eagles are actually all right now. Yeah, I think
they're
Eagles
playing better because they're running the ball. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they're running the ball. And I think to me, the Saints are like, Jameis Winston got hurt and Taysom Hill's been okay, but he's been out too. So that just seems like a team that's really dinged up. Plus, you'd have them at home and not on the road, which is a pretty big difference.
Yeah. So Saints and Eagles are the top two teams as far as percentages that the Rams could play. Then it's the Niners. Now, listen, let me tell you something.
Oof.
I don't want to see the Niners at all in the playoffs if I'm the Rams. I don't even want to see them this weekend. If I could just, like, not play mm-hmm. the game, I would not play the game if I were the Rams.
I
understand Trey Lance is probably going to have to play because Garoppolo is dinged up. But the Niners have owned the Rams, so I don't want that. Cowboys and Cardinals are the next two teams after that. The Cowboys are not playing well, and I feel like the Rams match up fine against the Cardinals, to be frank with you. So I like
yeah.
where things are headed for the Rams, despite Mason.
The only thing I don't like
out.
Is playing in Lambeau again.
Yeah, but
I
you
mean,
know
they're
what?
Probably going to have to go through Lambeau Field if you want to make it to the Super Bowl.
Fine, that's fine. I feel like they, you know, they will have seen him twice in one season, and they mm-hmm. faced them obviously last year in the playoffs, and it didn't go well. So this is a chance for redemption. But you got to get there first. Let's not overlook any of this stuff. But I think that there is a path, at least to the NFC title game for them, which is what I've been saying since Thanksgiving. And here we are. All they got to do is either win or Arizona lose their last game. Who do the Cardinals play, Lindsay, in their last game? Do we know? I forgot.
Well, let me look. Hang on 1 second.
The Eagles, right?
Oh, do they play the
Eagles?
No,
in their regular season game.
Oh,
let's see.
Yeah, the Cardinals play Seattle. They play Seattle. Yeah, they play Seattle. And they play at home, which actually is bad for the Cardinals because they're not – they've been way better on the road for some reason than at home. So, anyway, that's what we got for the Rams. Mason is out on Stafford. Mason is – now, you know what Mason's doing, Ramona?
I heard him.
I'm going to tell you on the other side what he's really up to. I see this a mile away, Steve Mason. So we'll get to that. We'll get to how wrong I was about the Raiders and how the Chargers can do the thing that has avoided them for so long. We'll get to all that coming up. Stick around.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know, it's funny, Chris. I'm glad you brought that up because I had it written down and I hadn't gotten to it yet. But, Momo, clearly you saw this picture, right?
I saw it. I did. And can't unsee it, you know?
Yeah. I also can't unsee it.
It was sort of tastefully done, I thought.
I think it should be a meme, like, among all of us.
Oh, it definitely is a meme.
Yeah.
Definitely a meme. But, I mean... you know, he's just like covered up by the stream. I thought he was wearing shorts. I guess not.
Guess not. I mean.
Wait, he wasn't wearing shorts?
No, apparently he wasn't, according to what he said.
I didn't know that.
Mm. Yeah. So.
Changes my whole perception of the photo.
Yeah, it does. It actually does. It did look like he was wearing shorts. It looked like he had something on.
Okay. He had boots, I thought, or something. Wasn't he?
Yeah, he does have boots on. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
Which I think is actually even more hilarious if he's naked and wearing boots.
I mean, that's kind of part of it, right? Like,
that's like a cap move right there. Like, boots or with a robe and nothing else.
How drunk do you think he was when he took that picture?
I don't think he needed to be drunk for that. No.
You think he did that because he wanted to have the artsy fartsy picture?
Yes. That's, you know, Steve Mason. Like, he's all about setting that he wants to be a meme. He does. That would, like, be very validating and exciting for him to be a meme.
I saw that picture and could not stop laughing. Like, I was just like, who does he think he is? Like, Brad Pitt or something? Like, that's the type of person that takes that kind of photo.
That's the whole thing. He kind of does. Like, I mean, George, he sat there when I was sitting right across from him in studio. He sang the whole song of Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. I mean, he sang the whole song. Like, and I was like, we didn't need the whole song to get a sense of how much you like it. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, that he just leans in. Like, he does the national anthem at actual sporting events.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember he did it
in front of huge crowds.
The marquee race. I remember he did it there.
Yeah. I mean, the marquee race did not have as many people as the Key.
No, but it had a pretty decent amount. I was pretty impressed. There was like 1,000 people there to just watch Key and Marcellus run a 40-yard dash for all, of all things. But, I just saw it and I immediately thought of those cologne and perfume commercials that all like the fancy Oscar award winning stars do. And they're like, usually the commercials are like done in black and white and they're like half naked, if not naked in the picture.
Yeah. And there's always like a very dramatic narration.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's what I felt like when I saw that photo, that Steve Mason was trying to do a Gucci ad or something.
Totally. And I love that he's like not looking at the camera. Like, we just snuck up on him and surprised him in the jungle.
how many takes do you think that picture took?
At least 10.
There's no way it was one take.
No way. There's no way.
Yeah.
So, woke up and surprised him, you know. He was just,
Juan is taking, like, 10, and you think, like, how many pictures is he taking before he goes back to him and shows him a few of the proofs?
Probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Like,
two trips and then decide on one. Yeah.
Yeah. At least. I mean, look, I, I have co-stars, I guess, that I have taken that I'm on set with and are very interested in making sure they have the best photo that day for the gram. And like, I mean, there's a lot of takes involved. And I'm like, I mean, this one's good. I'm a pretty good photographer. And I'll be like, this one's good. I framed you really good. Your outfit looks cute. Your smile's good. And they're like, no, do it a little bit different. And I'm like, you're like, all right then. I mean, people are serious about the gram.
I mean, clearly Steve Mason, more serious than I would have ever anticipated about the gram. He, by the way, didn't he just say, he literally just said to me before the holiday, he said, yeah, Scott Kaplan, man, he takes so many pictures for the gram. Like, he's just like always posing and doing stuff. And here goes Steve Mason doing a Gucci ad, basically, on his Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, I'm just kind of used to the Mason vacation pictures. Yeah. Like, it's always like that. When he goes on vacation, he's just like frolicking with the monkeys, and he's always like, you know, ziplining.
Well, that I get, like, you know, yeah, being silly and goofy, but this just felt like, this felt very artsy fartsy, very artsy fartsy,
yeah,
Mason.
It was. Yeah. I mean, I'm just in my own. I mean, it really was. Yeah, you're right. No, Calvin Klein, like Eternity.
Yeah, you know, Calvin Klein, the Eternity. Yeah.
The guy is always like looking lustfully at the female model. Yeah. It's always in black and white. Yeah, it's definitely Eternity. And
then, except Mason,
and the
narration
is,
you're more cool water, bro.
Cool.
Dracar Noir. You know what I'm saying? You're not Gucci.
We should find that commercial. We should find the Eternity commercials. Let's find that, Laura.
Oh, no, that's what we should do. We should get that picture and just do like a narration to it and then post it on social media. Like, that would be hilarious.
If you find me the Calvin Klein Eternity commercials, I'll change the words around and I'll make it about Mason.
Yeah.
You know what the truth is? He would not actually be Dracar Noir. His perfume or his cologne would be Mason.
Oh, yeah. Mason. Yeah, I'm with you. But yeah,
I'll write it for you and you voice it. How about that?
You're a professional writer, so let's have you write it. And then you and I can voice it together because you've also done a successful 30 for 30. You know, so there's that.
But do you want to know? This is when I did the 30 for 30. I'm not a natural voiceover person. Like, I had to really work at that. You had to get in this podcast voice.
Yeah.
And do you know the line that gave me the hardest time? That I had What's the hardest time delivering the line?
Yeah. What?
I'm Ramona Shelburne.
Wow.
I couldn't say it. Really? I kept laughing every time. Because you basically are, like, introducing your podcast. Like, it's about 10 minutes in, you start narrating. And then about 10 minutes in, you do this, like, you know, we're going to go to the first commercial break usually. And there's a sort of like, this is the Sterling Affairs, and I'm Ramona Shelburne. I could not for the life of me say it. I kept laughing every time because it was
funny.
It made me so self-conscious. Like, I never, and the only way I can ever do it when I'm on SportsCenter, and you have to tag your story at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Most of the time they send it to you and they introduce you. You don't have to say your name or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you do a piece at the end of the day, you go, reporting live from crypto.com arena. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. You have to do it like that.
Right. And you have to do the old Jeremy Schapp thing. Yeah.
So my muse, the person I have in my head who I grew up watching on SportsCenter, listening to those, you know, reporting live with the Raiders, you know, was Shelly Smith.
Yeah.
Shelly Smith. Reporting live with the 49ers in Oakland, Shelly Smith, ESPN. So I would just do it with exactly her intonation. So
correct.
Every time you hear me on SportsCenter, I'm just doing the Shelly Smith. Every time.
Right. You're just impersonating Shelly Smith, but saying your name.
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough.
But on the podcast, I had no way to do it. So we actually had my friend, she had to say my name for me so I could just impersonate her impersonating me.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Now, speaking of funny, the Raiders and Chargers are going to be playing in a game, a winner-take-all game. And the funny part is this, is that A, they are clearly rivals. B, they will be playing a primetime game for the 29th time in their history. That's the most of any two teams. And they both are teams that generally flounder to get into the postseason. That they fail. Their objective is usually failure at the end of the season and finds themselves getting the short end of the stick. Now, barring a tie, which it doesn't seem to be very likely. Although that would be even more hilarious.
It would be so perfect.
But barring a tie, which I don't know what the result there would be and who would get in or who would get out, but somebody's got to win this game, Ramona.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, it's like two fan bases that are, I don't want to say cursed. It's not that strong, but we're just used to snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Okay. Right. We're just used to the penalty coming in right when we score the game winning touchdown. Oh, holding, illegal motion. I mean, it's just, I can feel it coming. Like every time they score a touchdown, I'm like, where's the flag? Is it coming? Is there a flag out there somewhere? I've seen this for 20 years. And, you know, one of them has to win. Or don't they? Maybe it will. It really will be a tie. But,
Lindsay, if there's a tie, what happens? What happens there? Do we know?
I think I read that it's actually better for the Raiders if they tie.
Oh, well, there you
I'll
go.
Double check, but I'm pretty sure that the Raiders had the advantage there.
The Raiders beating Indy was a big thing because Indy was the team that was ahead of them. They had to beat Indianapolis. And I think, didn't the Chargers lose to the Colts?
I don't remember.
I think I'm right about that. Indy, to me, is a good team. They just haven't – they started off
They can
off
run
so
the you-know-what out of the ball. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, and that guy's not winning the MVP. Come on.
He's not, but he's really good.
I know, he's really good. He won your fantasy MVP, okay? But you can't win an MVP if you barely make the playoffs.
Yeah. By the way, they did not play the Colts this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If the Colts lose and then the Chargers and the Raiders tie, they would both get into the playoffs.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
That
is what karma.
Who do the Colts play then? Hold on a second. Here, hold on. Let me take
the Jaguars. So that's probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to lose
that game. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that people are going to sit here and say that the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville in like 4 years. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. They're not losing that game.
It's not happening a fifth year in a row. Trust me on that one. Yeah. Wow. What a crazy scenario. I'm super pumped. I can't wait for this week to evolve because I want to see what the players have to say about all this. I do want to get into the Raiders a little bit because, again, I was completely wrong about them when I gave up on them.
Just keep saying it. I know how wrong you were. It's okay. But the truth is, like, we all lost hope. I mean, after the Henry Ruggs thing, I mean, I don't feel right about this year at all.
Well, and then there was the other kid, Arnett, right, who they got kicked off the team as well.
You know, and also, like, I mean, they just had a guy, he's a rookie cornerback, Nate Hobbs. He was arrested on DUI hours after they beat the Colts the other day.
Yeah.
I can't deal. Like, if your teammate killed a girl, I just makes me so angry, man. I'm even as a Raider fan having a hard time rooting for them after what's happened.
All right, so what we'll do is to cheer you up on the other side, we will play Radio Tinder. How about that?
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Let's do that. And then coming up after Radio Tinder, I do want to get back into kind of this the football stuff. I do want to get also into the Lakers. Because I have a specific LeBron question for you, Ramona. So we'll do a little bit of football. We'll do a little bit of LeBron. That's coming up after Radio Tinder, but that's coming up next in about 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Lins, what do you got?
All right, so starting off with some UFC here. Dana White today responded to Jake Paul saying that he'll retire from boxing if UFC fighter pay increases. So to start off the new year, the YouTuber turned boxer issued a statement to the UFC president noting the changes that he wanted to see in the organization. So those changes include raising the minimum fighter pay, a 50% guarantee of the UFC's annual revenue, and then long-term health care, citing lasting brain damage for fighters. Jake Paul said that he'd retire from boxing, enter the U.S. anti-doping agency testing pool, and take on UFC welterweight fighter Jorge Masvidal. And then Dana White responded saying, he called Paul a cheater and said, if you two think that you can do it better than we do, you know, we're doing this whole thing wrong. You can treat the fighters better than we do. Knock yourself out. Go start your own business. Also called him a scumbag, so that wasn't cool. Do you think that Jake Paul is speaking out of turn in his challenge to Dana White? Swipe left or swipe right? Sedano.
Is he speaking out of turn? I'll swipe left. First of all, I think what Jake Paul is doing in some ways is quite commendable because his fights, I use that in air quotes, because I do think that some of those fights may not be anything but a work. Maybe not all of them, but some of them maybe just be a work. I nonetheless, he's getting those guys paid. Tyron Woodley, for example, who fought in the UFC for many years, probably has made more money fighting Jake Paul than any other fight he's ever fought in the UFC. I could be wrong about that, but my guess is I'm probably close to being very, very right. Maybe there's a fight or two in his UFC career where he may have made more money, but he's made a ton of money fighting Jake Paul a couple of times. So he's giving these guys an opportunity and fighting for stuff that a lot of people have brought up to Dana in the past, and it is a clear sensitive issue with Dana White. And maybe that is something. If Jake Paul's got all that money and he can get the right backing, maybe he calls another promotion and says, hey, I'll help you. These guys listen to me, these fighters, and let's go try to do something together. Maybe he should partner with someone. But easier said than done is what I would say. While I think that there are things Dana could be doing better, I do think it's always easier from afar without knowing the inner workings to criticize. So while I am mostly on Jake Paul's side here, I just think that, you know, what Dana's response was on point as well, which is, hey, man, go ahead. It's a free country. You want to start a promotion? Go right ahead.
Okay. I think Jake Paul is 100% right. And UFC started off and they had to have this kind of salary structure because they were a new sport and they were a new organization. And they kind of had to do this where the fighters really couldn't make very much. And they had, everybody was kind of in it together, but it has graduated and it's now the big time. And I think that they have plenty of money that can go more to the fighters, more towards long-term fighter health. And especially in a sport where nobody lasts forever. No one is champion forever. The best fighter, the best female fighter in UFC history, in mixed martial arts history, Amanda Nunes, just lost. Okay? I thought she would never lose. She was the best fighter.
Yeah.
And she's the one who took out Ronda Rousey, and now she won 12 in a row, and now she just lost. Like, everybody loses with 4-ounce gloves. It happens. And they get hurt. They don't fight again. It's not a long-term sport, and it's the stars in that sport have figured out a way to monetize, but the rank and file don't, and they end up with a lot of problems. But it's fine when you're a new organization, you're a new sport, but when you're now, you've grown up, you make billions of dollars, it's a great organization. I think they can pay the fighters a little more. They just can. And the people who are making money off of it are the owners of the UFC, which is WME. The people who own the organization make more now than any of the fighters combined. Like, it's just they can change it.
Yeah, don't they make billions of dollars, right? With a B?
I mean,
they sold it for $4 billion a number of years ago. Yeah.
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 That's the Fertitta brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, next one. So, MLB Network has cut ties with insider Ken Rosenthal.
Ooh, you're going to get me hot about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Which is believed to be the end result of acrimony that peaked in the summer of 2020 after Rosenthal criticized Commissioner Rob Manfred, which, let's be honest, who didn't? Rosenthal was reportedly first kept off the air for about 3 months after he wrote columns in 2020 with the season in jeopardy due to the pandemic, analyzing Manfred's handling of the situation in The Athletic. Rosenthal's analysis of Manfred for The Athletic featured some light criticism, but it didn't appear to delve in anything personal. So, will what happened with Ken Rosenthal be the end of writers and reporters working for pro sports leagues and their entities? Swipe left or swipe right, Ramona?
I don't think it will be the end because, unfortunately, there's not a lot of great jobs elsewhere, and a lot of really good writers end up going to work for teams and leagues that they cover. Like, there's really good writers working for MLB.com. There are. And, unfortunately, that's where the more stable jobs are these days. So I don't think it ends it, but that is a, I think it makes Rob Manfred look so small and so disingenuous. I mean, he doesn't have a great, you know, approval rating. If you were to take an approval rating, I don't think he'd be all that high. I don't think it's going to bother him. This is another knock against him. All that matters is what the other owners who pay his salary think. But I mean, come on, man. That's just, you know, Sam Smith, who's a legendary reporter for in Chicago, who covers the Bulls. He's the guy who wrote the Jordan rules. He writes for Bulls.com and he writes whatever the hell he wants. He does not get censored by the Bulls or NBA.com. That's how this works. If you want people to take what you write seriously with some credibility, you got to let people write what they got to write. And Ken is one of the best journalists and most fair people out there. I was upset when I saw this today. Woo.
Yeah, I agree, Ramona. I'm with you. I will swipe left, though, and say that it's not the end, because to Ramona's point, there's always going to be the opportunities out there. There's not that many of them, so you take whatever is available to you at a given moment. But I too was not thrilled about that, because if you're any entity, forget it. I don't care if you're MLB, NBA, NFL, ESPN, yeah. Right, Fox, you need to be have a dissenting voice, okay? You, as long as it's merit-based and fact-based, right? You're not making it up, you know? Like, as long as it is got those attributes to it, there should be room for a dissenting voice. I am 100% with that. And by the way, I read the story.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
It wasn't at all. Like, it was like the mildest of mildest criticisms one could possibly have. So, not thrilled about that either. Like, come on, we're all adults here. Okay. Like, you're not perfect. All right. What's next?
All right. It seems like three is not a crowd for Jeff Bezos. The Amazon billionaire was smiles when he celebrated New Year's Eve with his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, and her ex-fiance, Tony Gonzalez, all aboard a luxury yacht. So he posted photos on Instagram posing in his awesome heart-shaped sunglasses and his fancy little button-down shirt, which was probably unbuttoned a little too far. And his post read, in part, "The new year is also a great time to take stock and focus on personal growth, renewal, rebirth, and paying careful attention to each moment of your life." Could you guys see yourself ringing in the new year or any other big celebration with your partner and their ex all together? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
You know what? That's a great question. I would say swipe right. Like, how long have you been dating that? I mean, I think every situation is different, right? Like, what if you, like, like, here's an example. Like, what if your significant other and you have been dating or married or whatever for, I don't know, since you were like basically like in high school or college, right? Like their previous relationship was probably when they were like 15. You know what I mean? Like, so what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Like, I just think that there's not like a blanket answer for that statement.
Yeah. Like, does she have kids with him?
Right.
No, that's a little different.
Yeah. I think she does have a kid with him, but
I think when there's kids involved, that actually makes it like, so I have a friend, she is divorced, and her she has two kids with her, you know, ex-husband, and he now has children, and they all vacation together like once a year, just so that her kids can be with her, you know, their other siblings, you know what I'm saying? And like, they have like one trip, they do like a weekend. They don't stay in the same place, like the same room or anything, but like they'll go to like a hotel and, you know, they do it so that way their siblings can be together. So I don't know. I just think that stuff is all based on, you know, like different circumstances.
The dynamics. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. But I will say, like, you know, even though he's a billionaire and he's not like any other human on this earth because of that, like, shout out to him and props for him for being cool with that, especially when,
seriously,
like, I know that he's a billionaire and he's the richest man in the world, whatever, maybe second richest, but like, her ex is Tony Gonzalez. Like,
I know.
Look at him. Look at him. Don't you feel like standing next to that guy, you have to be like, man, I wish I looked
also,
like that guy. Yeah,
did
I don't
you
know.
See what he was wearing?
Yes, he looked ridiculous.
Oh,
looked
I mean, those photos were like, I think Michael Eve nailed it. He was just like, he looks like Paul Schaefer from the old, you know, David Letterman show, the band director. I mean,
he does. Somebody had a really good tweet. It was something along the lines of, instead of looking like the richest guy in the world, Jeff Bezos dresses like a guy who just lost his fortune in cryptocurrency.
Totally.
Laura, what is it you said in my ear?
I said he's just confident. He has, he's securing himself, so he doesn't care that her ex is there. Plus, I believe they have a kid together.
Oh.
Yes, they do. They do. The two of them do. But still, I mean, it is.
Oh, no, it could totally be awkward for sure.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question.
All right.
Standing next to that guy.
That is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30. Coming up next, I got a LeBron question for you, Momo. Momo's here in for Cap today. We'll be back in 2.5 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, this is one of those like
good song
Sunday morning cooking breakfast songs, kind of dancing when you're cooking. You do a little spin around while you're tossing like the pancakes or the eggs, you know?
That's awesome.
Mami, dame el sal. You know? I love me a little music when I'm cooking.
Do you
cook that often, but I love me a little music when I'm cooking.
What do you make?
I usually do breakfast for the for the house. Whenever I do cook, it's mostly breakfast. You know, pancakes and like eggs, an omelet. I usually go omelet because I don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, just.
Do you like flip the pan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're leaning into that.
I mean, I know what I'm doing, you know.
I don't think it's all that necessary.
I do that. You know what? You know where I cook the bacon. See, this is like somebody taught me
this
a long time ago.
In the same pan as the omelet.
No.
Where?
Here's a life hack for you. You cook your bacon in a toaster oven.
What?
And you can cook like 6 strips at the same time.
Are you serious?
You bake.
You put that raw bacon in there.
Yeah, you get the pan, right? You put a little aluminum foil on it, okay? You put like 6-7 strips or whatever on it, and then you preheat it to 400 degrees, and you put it in there for anywhere between 15-16 minutes, and it will cook as crispy as it would in a pan, and no mess, and no, like, you know, backfire of the
grease. I feel like I've seen this at a TikTok. Like one of those cooking videos on TikTok.
I may have posted it on my own Instagram at one point, but that is a life hack. That's a way easier way to cook bacon, and you can cook it a lot faster because you can cook more bacon at once.
It feels kind of unsanitary. That's like raw meat going in your toaster.
No, but you're putting aluminum foil on top of the pan.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, like, you know, but how your toaster ovens come with like a little pan, you know?
Toaster oven. You're not talking about a regular toaster.
No, like a toaster oven. Toaster oven.
Okay. Yeah, this is making more sense to me now. Okay. I was like, how are we going to dip that raw meat in there? That sounds
crazy. A toaster oven. Well, you don't have a toaster. Do you have a toaster that preheats to 400 degrees?
I was like, what are we doing here, man? That's going to get all stuck in there?
No. A toaster oven.
Yeah, that makes way more sense. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can make like at least 6 strips in one sitting.
Okay.
So, I'm a breakfast person when I cook.
See, I like to cook the bacon in the pan because then you get the bacon fat in the pan. You just leave that bacon fat in the pan. Then you put your eggs in. It's got like bacon fat eggs.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I usually, when I make the omelet, I usually go with like a little Pam. Just spray the thing with Pam. Nothing too crazy. And just, make a little omelet. Throw a little ham in there, a little cheese. And then like, you know, you got to top it with some cheese. So I usually do like mozzarella inside with some ham. And then on the top, I'll put like one slice of cheddar just to give it like a little decor on the top.
All right. I'm into that. And you do the whole flip. So you fold it over.
Right, you fold it over, right?
Do you need an audience for the flip or does it make you nervous?
No, I'm good.
Because, I mean, I feel like the flip is an unnecessary cooking technique. And the only reason to do that is to kind of show off a little bit, right?
Yeah. I have a question for you. I told you I had a LeBron question for you.
All right.
Now, you had mentioned this, and you've been right, outside of yesterday, and even yesterday, I wouldn't say he contradicted Russell Westbrook. I would just say he had a slightly different take on the situation, okay? But generally, LeBron has been very much on the same page as Russell Westbrook, let Russ be Russ. He has said that in group settings. He has said it to Mike Trudell in post-game opportunities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I believe there's one of three scenarios at play here, okay? Now, you can tell me I'm completely wrong on all of them, but just tell me what you think of these three scenarios. A, LeBron is doing that because he was the biggest advocate on acquiring Russell Westbrook. Okay?
All right.
B, he is doing that to perhaps up any trade value that Russell Westbrook could have. Or C, he actually believes what he's saying.
I think it's a combination of A and C.
Okay.
Okay, because I don't think LeBron's ever worried about somebody's trade value, right? Like, I don't think that's ever been, like, part of his calculus there.
Okay.
I think he went to bat for Russ. I think he still believes in the guy. I think he genuinely appreciates how hard he plays. I mean, Russ played every single game. And one thing that I know Russ gets upset about, he doesn't feel like people give him credit for the good things he does. They only focus on the things he doesn't do or the bad things he does. And so I feel like LeBron doesn't have any other choice here, George. Like, there's no trade they can do for him. There's no team that wants Westbrook.
Do you think, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't want to see. I'm not going to do this to you. I'm not going to ask the question the way I was going to ask you, because if I ask it that way,
it's okay.
Immediately it's going to be Ramona Shelburne said aggregated 7,000 times.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's okay. I know how to.
Okay, so what I would say to you is this: do you believe that if there were such a deal, that the Lakers would at least have a conversation about it?
Me, Ramona, having not directly posed that question.
Correct.
To anyone in
correct.
This, right? See, that's how I sidestepped that.
Correct.
I haven't posed that question. But yeah, of course you listen. Of course you would look, right? But there's no trade out there. Let's be real. There's no trade out there for Russell Westbrook that makes any kind of sense for the Lakers right now. John Wall? That's the only one.
No.
You going to do that?
No.
I don't think Houston would even want that. They've already been down that road. Yeah. And that's not what they're trying to do.
And is John Wall an upgrade over Russell Westbrook?
I don't think so. I mean, well, look, in a way he is because he's more of a pure point guard. I actually think John Wall could still play. And I think he's more of a pure point guard. I think he would be good because the Lakers need a pure point guard. I mean, I even had somebody the other day go, you know, they kind of need somebody like a Dennis Schroeder. And I was like, whoa, all kinds of crazy scenarios. But like Dennis Schroeder would be available probably. Boston will probably trade him. Or at least look at options. I mean, can you imagine if they end up with Schroeder back? Stranger things happen. DeAndre Jordan played for the Mavs, okay? But after that whole thing he did, right with the Clippers and Mavs once, I just think it's, I mean, Dwight Howard's on the Lakers after he left, okay? But it feels like I think they all know, like, they're stuck with each other. Like, this is it. And LeBron, yes, he was one of the main advocates and he really believed that it can work, and he has to make it work. Now, will he be saying all the same things if they don't win this year, or if they flame out in the first round or whatever it is? I don't think so, because then you can probably, if you need to trade Russ or if it's not working out, you can probably find a trade this offseason. But not right now, like this year, they gotta make it work.
In the offseason you can, because Russ would go into the last year of his deal.
Yeah,
so
last year of his deal. And that's kind of, I think everybody understands the reality of the situation, and they don't have many other assets other than probably Talen Horton Tucker, and even that right now is not great.
He's not playing that well either.
Yeah, maybe like 2 months ago I would have told you, maybe they could do something with Cleveland and Kevin Love. Not anymore.
Yeah, Cleveland's good and Kevin Love's playing well. Yeah.
Yeah, he's important for them. He's a good player for them. Yeah. So it's just, I don't see it, and I don't know what other albatross contract? Like, there was a time a couple summers ago. Remember when we were having this conversation? Whose contract is harder to trade, Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook?
Oh my God!
And then they got traded for each other,
right?
And it was Russ who got to choose where he wanted to go, whether he was going to go to the Heat or he was going to go to the
Rockets.
The Rockets.
Yeah.
My, how times have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, the Lakers could have had Kyle Lowry had they included Taylor Horton Tucker last trade deadline, right?
There was a little more to that. I mean, it wasn't just not wanting to put THT in there. That was part of it. But the other side of it is, what did Lowry end up signing for? I think it was
About 30.
About 30 a year.
Yeah.
And he's 35-ish, 36. I mean, you know, I think a lot of teams that were thinking about pulling the trigger on the trade last year were a little concerned. And I don't just mean the Lakers. Like, the Sixers, the Heat, everybody was a little like, do we really want to be paying this guy $30 million a year? Because that's what he wants in his next deal. So I think that was a little more of the concern last year than necessarily Taylor Horton Tucker. Although that was part of it too.
All right. Well, thank you for answering that question. A and C. All right. So LeBron believes it, and LeBron is also trying to sort of justify the fact that he advocated for Russ. So
he's got to make it work. Like, that's it. When you make a choice, like you know, they chose Westbrook over Buddy Hield. They had both deals lined up, and they made a choice, and I've always, you know, the answer I've always got when I ask the question is why one over the other, and the answer is LeBron and AD have not been all that durable the last few years, and there was a sense, like, if one or both is not healthy, Russ is a star who can carry a team. Because he has carried teams before, whereas Buddy Hield is more of a better fit and a better complementary player, but not necessarily the guy that you can just ride when one or both of those guys are not hurt.
All right. Here's the rundown for the rest of the show, for the last hour of the show, okay? We've got – I have more LeBron Lakers stuff, particularly about his minutes, how sustainable this is, can he carry this team to the playoffs, all that. I want to get into all the Sean McVay doubters. Yes, Clinton Yates, I'm talking about you out there, okay? The Matthew Stafford doubters. Yes, Steve Mason, I know you doubled that down on that today. And the Raiders, Chargers in a must-win game. We will do that. And which team of all three that I just mentioned would LA be behind the most if they all made the playoffs? All that coming up before Big Deal or No Deal, 710 ESPN. We're back in 3 minutes.